The blast destroyed the vehicle and took Josh's right leg from just above the knee down. He had a pretty badass prosthetic now, complete with a robotic knee, but he hadn't really had the opportunity to put it to the test yet. Recovery from an injury like that isn't exactly a cakewalk, no pun intended. Josh's recovery had entailed a long series of surgeries, the latest just a few months before, on his good leg, which had also been seriously injured in the blast. Even though he'd graduated from Georgetown the year before our trip, the operations had kept him from getting a job, essentially putting his life on hold. When I'd spotted him at our favorite pub in D.C. a few weeks earlier, he'd looked pretty rough. Josh was a lot taller than me, but he looked as if he'd shrunk. That night, we hastily put the plan together. Within a week, we were off. It was good timing for me, too. I was still in school full-time at Georgetown, but decided to take the summer off. I guess you could say I wanted to soak up my last college summer before graduating and getting back to the grind. A year earlier, I bought my dream car, a 1988 Toyota Land Cruiser. After spotting her in a mechanic's lot by my apartment, still wearing her original royal blue paint. Like a lovesick teenager, I kept my eye on the truck for weeks. I was broke, and I didn't even know if it was for sale or not. But when I woke up one morning to find a deposit from the VA in my bank account, a year's worth of disability back pay that suddenly came through, I knew it was time to find out. That same afternoon, I drove her off the lot. Fred assumed his position in the passenger seat, his front paws on the armrest and his head out the window. He stuck his snout high in the air, like he always did, as if proud of his new wheels. Ever since, I'd been dreaming of taking him across the country in that truck. "We're gonna bushwhack," I told Josh as we planned our trip. I didn't want to stick to the well-worn trails. We were going to make our own. "I got a 3-day limit, man," Josh had said, pointing to his knee. "That's the lifespan of the battery on this thing. Once it died, he'd be down to one leg, and we'd be screwed." Josh was 29 years old, a few years younger than me, and from Minnesota. He had an easygoing personality and got along with everyone. But I knew that, like me, Josh wanted to push limits. Before his injury, he'd been in peak physical condition. He was a tall guy, about 6'1", with a lean, athletic build. He could bench 200 pounds and hike for 10 miles with an 80-pound ruck on his back, no problem. After the IED, all that changed. He had to relearn how to do everything with one leg. Our trip would be his first chance to really see what he could do. We began to descend into a valley. The road twisted through the mountains, lined on either side by tall, sheltering trees. Their leaves danced in the wake of the Land Cruiser as we whizzed by. From outside, a powerful roar swelled up, like a train pulling into a station. Josh turned down the music so we could hear. As we sank deeper into the valley, we realized it was the sound of a river below. We looked for a place to pull over so we could walk down and get a closer look. That's what we wanted, the chance to see something new, to encounter the unexpected, to have each day start with that anticipation of the unknown. It'd been 4 years since I left the Marine Corps. My time in the Marines had been a series of ups and downs, but I always felt that what I was doing was relevant. After I got out, I got a desk job where it felt irrelevant whether I even showed up or not. I wasn't challenged. I wasn't really myself. So I went back to school, just to check a box. I thought if I got my degree, then I could go back to work and get a better job, move up, find a challenge. But the more time I spent away from that job, the more I realized I didn't want to go back. What I was going to do instead, I didn't know. When things get easy for me, I get uncomfortable. I was always that way growing up, but after my deployment, that feeling only got stronger. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't searching for the life I led in Afghanistan by coming on this trip. That might sound crazy, but it's real. Every vet I know at one point or another longs for the day-to-day urgency and uncertainty of life in a combat zone. When you don't know what the day is going to bring, when your only goal is to keep yourself and your buddies alive, everything is stunningly simple. Once you get a taste of that, a lot of things you do at home just don't feel the same. Some people are haunted by what they did and what they saw in Afghanistan. I'm no exception. Some things you can't forget, but some things you don't want to forget either. Like the memory of your friends who didn't come back, the ones you saw die. The way I was starting to see it, maybe refusing to live my life like a vegetable behind a desk was one...